Talala. I wonder what the difference is between what you catch and what you create and what it turns into and where. What it turns into, I wonder. Mama, oh Lala, Mama, I wonder what it turns into. Oh, I wonder. Into what? Into what? How does it turn into what you catch, or those you catch, and then those you create? And if you create them, then with what, Mama, with what? Sometimes I wonder if those you catch come from your brothers, brothers, fathers, sisters, husbands, brothers, fathers, brothers, mothers, sisters, brothers, fathers, father. Okay, so that's where they come from. But how and what do they turn into? What? But maybe also out of a brother's, father's, brother's, mother's, sister, we create. But what? And what does it turn into? Oh, la la. And then, maybe too, in a certain way, what we create is a brother's father's brother, his brother, his brother, his mother's sister, his brother's father's father, the husband of his father's sister. Maybe we create them, but how? Out of what? I wonder if everything has to go somewhere, and if so, if the words that don't leave the mouth go somewhere, and where, and what they do, and what they turn into. The words that don't leave the mouth call the remains go somewhere. Do they pile up somewhere, little piles? How do I know? And I wonder where. And if they make little piles somewhere, the remains, and where I wonder, do we have to recycle the remains to stop them from piling up? It's all right when the words leave the mouth, it's just fine, but sometimes while they're leaving to say something in some part of the body, a contrary thought resists. For example, I can say I fume with impatience before the mmm, while in another place, no, I'm afraid of the mmm. I'm afraid of the mmm resists and wins. What part of the body does I fume with impatience come from, while in another part the contrary thought resists? And who wins? And can I fume with impatience? Bring talala down on my head. When I'm afraid of the mmm, when in another part of the body the thought contrary to I fume with impatience before the mmm resists, I try to bring talala down on someone else, for example, X, and X has to be fake. I look for fake X, who's supposed to do it, and while I try to lower my lines of defense, one after the other, again I fume with impatience. X does it for me, catches or creates talala, then X fades into the dark, very small. I find X, to whom everything bad happens instead of to me. Everything bad, while to me nothing happens. I take advantage of X one more time, the last, really, the last, then I let her fade into the dark, very small. This system allows me to experience inside my mind events that happen outside, to substitute X for myself as an object of pity, to fear for X, to tremble for X, who fades into the dark while nothing at all happens to me. And none of that matters, really, to take already existing, but fake, X, and make it so that everything bad happens to her in such a way that nothing happens to me is an inoperative intention since X is a fake. Since X is a fake, it can be done, it can. I wonder, which is my favorite fake, X, to whom everything happens instead of to me? I've got a lot of fake X's to whom everything happens instead of to me. For example, Rachel in Blade Runner is a fake X to whom all sorts of very trying things happen, while to me, nothing. In Blade Runner, Rachel answers the questions in the Voight-Kampff test with things like, I'd take him to the doctor, and I should be enough for him. But she failed it in the end because she couldn't tell the difference between what she catches and what she creates, and what that turns into and where. If I take him to the doctor comes from her or from the other guy's niece, or from the other guy's niece's implants, Rachel doesn't know, and how it changes she doesn't know. Rachel tries to cast her intelligence farther, and farther out to discover where I'd take him to the doctor comes from, but this obsessive flight exhausts her because her thoughts must do it all physically and all alone. In Blade Runner, Rachel is pursued by Blade Runner, whose job is to destroy her because she's fake, and he thinks that I'd take him to the doctor doesn't come from her, but from Tyrell's niece's implants. But Blade Runner, whose job is, of course, to destroy her, of course, falls in love with Rachel, who is his prey. Rachel also, of course, falls in love with Blade Runner, but the words to tell him so won't leave her mouth, because she doesn't know if the words to tell him so come from her or from the other guy's niece, and how that changes. So Blade Runner, in order to make the words whose source she doesn't know come out of her mouth, is forced to rough her up a little, to push her into the Venetian blinds with a certain violence, to make her repeat. Touch me. Touch me. Kiss me. Kiss me. So that under this pressure, growing pressure, she manages to accurately distribute her various sensations between herself and the other niece's implants. Touch me. Touch me. Kiss me. Kiss me. I want you. I want you. Again. Take me in your arms. Sometimes I wonder if Rachel's looking at me when she says, I take him to the doctor, or I should be enough for him. If she's looking at me from how far away, Mama? Sometimes I wonder if Rachel's looking at me when she says, I take him to the doctor, and if she's looking at me from how far away?